Well, I want to thank you all for inviting me tonight. This is a big weekend for me. As you know, tomorrow's my day, St. Patrick's Day. And I noticed that's a big deal around here. As I came tonight, I saw store windows plastered with these cardboard shamrocks that said Lucky. And then someplace called McDonald's has a thing called Shamrock Shake. So anyway, I appreciate the excitement. So I hope I won't disappoint you when I tell you the truth. Yeah, I did teach people about the Trinity, but I never used a shamrock to do it. And I never drove the snakes out of Ireland. And I never thought of green beer. And if I had, I would have spit it out. But here's the big one that confuses a lot of people. I'm not even Irish. For real. I'm British. From the west coast of Britain. You know, I consider myself just a sinner. I'm not highly educated. You probably quickly figure that out. And a lot of people look down on me. But maybe that makes me somebody people can relate to. You know what I mean? Have you ever wondered how can God use somebody as little and limited as I am? I have. Or have you ever really been hurt by somebody? They treated you like the scum on a pond, and that left its mark on you. Well, I have. Or have you ever experienced that you needed something, you knew you didn't have it inside yourself, and you needed God to give it to you, and God did that. He can give that to you. I have experienced that myself. Well, this is my story, and I hope it encourages you. I am a proud citizen of the Roman Empire. I grew up near Emperor Hadrian's Wall, and people called me by my Roman name, Patricius. My father, my dad, Calpurnius, sat on the town council, and he was actually a deacon. And my grandfather was a priest. So my parents raised me as a Christian, in the Christian faith. But I have to say, I was not that into God. I was a Christian in name, but I didn't really know the true God. Anyway, when I was 16, my life, as I knew it, was stolen from me. The mighty Roman legion that had kept us all safe had been called back to guard Rome. And one day I spotted many courages coming toward the shore. There must have been 50 of them. And I realized it was trouble. As they pulled up onto the rocky beach, I could see the Irish slavers, slave raiders, the warriors wearing helmets and waving spears. And then I heard the war horns. And I ran as fast as I could. But there were just too many of them. And they burned houses and took captives, and they grabbed me too. I was forced on board, maybe with 1,000 other people across all those ships, and I was taken against my will to Ireland, where we were sold as slaves. Today, you would call us trafficked. Well, the slavers sold me to a warlord, and I quickly found out you don't mess with the warlord. He actually, and I hope this is not too much for you, he would take the heads of his enemies and coat them with the oil from cedar trees just to keep them well preserved as trophies. Well, it didn't take me long to figure out how things worked. At the top was the warlord and his warriors, and then the druids, right? And then the craftsmen and the traders and the farmers, and at the bottom were the slaves. And at the bottom of the bottom were the foreigner slaves, like me. Well, they put me to work taking care of sheep. I was out in the woods, up on the mountains, often wet or cold or hungry. But You know, it's the strangest thing. It was actually there, out there in nature, not where I wanted to be, that the Lord made me aware, Patrick, you don't have faith. And I got honest about my failings. And I turned with all my heart to the Lord my God. And while I was looking after the flocks, I'd be praying all day. Maybe I'd say 100 prayers a day and almost as many at night. And what happened was, like, more and more the love of God and the fear of God began to just kind of like grow inside me, and my faith increased and my spirit became alive. I no longer sensed that like spiritual laziness inside me. And so no matter how bad the weather would get with hail or whatever, I would get up before dawn because, as God says in the Psalms, call upon me in the day of trouble and I will deliver you. After 6 years of being a slave, I was 22 then, I heard this voice saying, Patrick, you do well to fast. Soon you're going home. And then a little later, I heard another revelation that said this, look, your ship's waiting for you. So that very night, I ran from the man I'd been under all those years. I ran for my life. I moved only at night. I hid during the days. I stayed off the main roads, and I kept going. I probably went about 200 miles till I got to a harbor. And there, I found a ship of traders getting ready to carry Irish wolfhounds to Britain. And I said, I need to be on this ship. Take me on. And the captain looked at me with my ragged clothes, my ragged beard, he heard my accent, and he just said with scorn, no way someone like you is coming with us. So I turned around and I started heading toward this hut just to get out of the wind, and I started praying. I was like, Lord, help me. And right about then, I heard this crewman behind me yell, come on back, come on back. And so I did. He said, okay, we've decided we're going to take you on, but when we land, you will pay the bill. Well, we sailed for 3 days, and when we landed, we just couldn't believe our eyes. The Jutes and the Saxons had come through, and they had burned everything, destroyed everything. It looked like a desert. And so there was nothing to eat. We kept wandering, foraging, just to try to find anything to eat, and some of the men on the crew were actually becoming faint from hunger. A couple we had to leave kind of half dead along the way. And then the rest started getting angry. And the captain said to me, how about it, Christian? If your God is so great and powerful, why doesn't he do something? We're starving to death. And I had a boldness. I told him, turn and trust with your whole heart in the Lord God, because he has an abundance. Nothing is impossible with him. And I'm not kidding. It wasn't long before a herd of wild boar came toward us. They actually blocked the road in front of us. And so the men killed some, and we camped there for 2 nights, just everybody having their fill. And after that, they treated me with a little more respect. Well, I finally made it back to my parents, and they welcomed me as the long-lost son. And they hugged me, and they cried. And my parents just begged me, my mom, Patricio, she said, after everything that's happened to you, please, please, I beg you, never leave us again. Well, she didn't have to tell me that. All I wanted to do was stay home and learn the faith that I had not really paid any attention to. Then my life shifted again. It was some years after that. I had this dream. And in the dream, a man named Victoricus was coming to me from Ireland. I could tell he was an Irish man, and he had a stack of letters, just like all stacked up. And he handed me the one on top. And I looked at it, and it said, "The Voice of the Irish." So I started reading it, and as I started to read it, I could hear voices. I could hear the people who live out near the Western Sea, out by the forest there, and they were saying all together in this like loud Irish voices, "Holy boy, come back. We beg you, walk among us again." And I started to sob. And then I woke up. What could I do? I knew it was the voice of God. But how could I go back to a place of slavery for me? How could I ever help my mother and father to understand? How could they understand? I couldn't understand. And the day I boarded the ship, I was still churning inside. And I took a seat near the bow, so as the ship took off, we were facing west, and the salt spray was coming up and hitting my face and mixing with my tears. I knew I would be cut off from my home, my family. I would be always the stranger. But could I really call it exile when I'm called by my Lord who goes before me? And then his word came to me and strengthened me. As the Lord says, "I tell you the truth, if you hold on to a kernel of wheat, that's all you'll ever have. But if you push it into the soil and it dies, you have many, many, many seeds." And the same thing for us. If we grab onto our life, we lose it. But if we let it go for the Lord, we get it back abundantly. So now I live among the barbarians, the people who worship idols and unclean things, violent people, superstitious people, fearful people. And here there are two great dangers. The first is the warriors. They carry a long sword or a dagger or maybe an axe. And they raid and they steal. Myself, I've been beaten up. I've been robbed. And one time I was put in chains for 60 days. Once we gathered by a river and held a baptism service there and just rejoiced in the Lord, all these Irish souls coming to the Lord. And the next day, those new Christians were still wearing the white robes that they had put on for their baptisms. And you could still smell the fragrance of the anointing oil on their foreheads. And right then, I heard hoofs of many horses coming and coming down the slope were soldiers. And they were under the command of a warlord named Caroticus. And they killed some and took others captive. It was a horrible day. And I immediately excommunicated Caroticus and anyone who helped him. I called his actions what they were: demonic, wicked, horrible, unutterable. And I told him he had to repent. And he had to free the people he'd taken. Well, the second big danger I face here is Druids. The good thing is they know the laws and lore of their clans, but they practice dark magic. They sacrifice animals and sometimes humans to be able to tell the future. Well, they may have power, but they don't have power like the High King of Heaven. And so every day I just pray and I say, "Christ be with me." And I remember that he protects me from the spells of the Druids and the black laws of paganism and the dark laws of heresy and from all unlawful knowledge that can harm our bodies or our souls. And God has protected me and given me favor. There are about 100 chiefs or so, it's said. here in Ireland, and I realized if they become Christians, probably their clan will too. So I focused on them. And many have become the people of the Lord. Even the sons and daughters of chiefs are now monks or virgins for Christ. I'm now 45, and over the years, I guess I've seen many thousands, I'll just say that, of people baptized into Christ. My new brothers and sisters, my new sons and daughters in the Lord. And here's what's amazing. The Lord has given me what I can only call this holy mercy toward the people who had once attacked my father's servants and taken me captive. I did not have that in myself. How could I? But I don't know if you've ever discovered this. When you do what the Lord gives you to do, he gives you what you need to do it. And now I must tell you about a very painful part of my life. Surprisingly, this attack didn't come from the Druids or the warriors. It came from the Christians back home. When I was 15, I did something stupid and sinful. Like I said, I wasn't following God then. And anyway, shortly after I did it, I was feeling bad about what I had done. And so I told my best friend. And now 30 years later, he told those over me in the church in Britain, and they wondered if I had disqualified myself from ministry. But I tell you, I made that known before I ever was ordained to the office of deacon. It is just so hard to understand. It was this friend of mine who I told, who assured me of pardon. Now, why so many years later did he come up with the idea to try to disgrace me in public? And if that wasn't enough, I was accused of not being educated enough to be a bishop. Well, this is painful. I lost 6 years of being able to speak my own language. There was no one to speak it to. I certainly wasn't able to read any Latin or study. So I know my limits. But I just have to say, if I am despised by them, I am inspired by God. He uses me. They even accused me of getting rich off this ministry, which is just ridiculous. I mean, sometimes Christians here in Ireland, of their own free will, would give me small gifts. And you know what I would do? I would give them back, even though that usually offended them. But I wanted to be careful. And just to do my work, I give presents to kings so that they will welcome me into their territory and let me speak and preach. When their sons travel with me, I have to pay their wages. I tell you before God and his holy angels that I came here for one and only one purpose, and that was to preach the gospel. And God came to my aid in this battering. And one night I had a vision, and God said to me, "Patrick, the person who touches you touches the pupil of my eye." And I knew I would be okay. And I was. You know, I've just learned over the years that whatever happens to me, whether it's good or it's bad, I just try to, like, tackle it or accept it, embrace it, I guess, saying giving thanks to God for it. Do you feel like your suffering has stolen things from you? That it has set you aside? I'm telling you, it was in my slavery that I awoke to God, and because of what I went through, I was the first Christian to ever strongly speak out against slavery. Do you feel small and flawed? Listen, I was like a rock lying in the mud, and God in his mercy reached down, picked me up, cleaned me off, and set me up at the top of the wall. So I've finally reached this point in my life where I don't worry about, can God use somebody as small and as limited as me? I don't. I instead, you know what I say? I wonder what a big God can do if I will obey him. Obeying God, I gotta say, it's taken me places I never thought I would go. I've gone out beyond civilization. I have gone out to places where even the Irish do not live. I've gone out to the edge of the world, the final frontier, the Western Sea, what you would call the Atlantic Ocean. And now, people who knew only idols, unclean things, they are the sons and daughters, the holy saints of the living God. And I look back and I ask myself, who forced me to come? And I realized I was bound in the spirit to be here. Yes, I was a free man. My father was a Decurion. I gave up that status so that I could serve others. And I'm treated as a foreigner and taunted sometimes. But I am not ashamed of this. And I'm not sorry. This is my declaration before I die. It was not by my own grace. It was by God who became victorious in me that I came to the Irish people to preach the gospel. And if I'm worthy, I'm ready to give up my life for that. And my prayer is I will serve this people for the rest of my life. Well, that's my story. Thanks for listening.